Let us open our service with a word of prayer.
Yeah, we needed a little color in our lives this morning because there wasn't any sunrise to see. It was so cloudy. Let us bow our heads now as we thank God. I am so fortunate to have been blessed by you, Lord. Without you beside me, I would never have explored the wonderful values that you have given to me, like faith, morals, and respect. Every morning, I wake with God's message in my heart, with hope that his word to others I can impart. Father, we hope these words are a blessing to your ears because we want so to be what you want us to be. We love this church family. We are so glad for the ones who are here. And in this weather, we pray that you'll watch over each and every one as they go home today. Bring those who are away, whether it's for sickness or weather or whatever their problems, just be with them, give them your love, and bring them back to us if that be your will. We pray this morning for the coming of your Son, which is such a blessing and is what the season is all about. We pray for Bruce as he brings us the sermon this morning. And all these things we pray in the name of that precious baby, Jesus. Amen. You love this season and the decorations and the beautiful music, Tom. Thank you so much for that. In the musical Hello Dolly, there is a song that says, "It only takes a moment." Well, they're talking about falling in love, but I'm here to tell you, only takes a moment to scare you or maybe change your life forever. On Friday, Daryl fell off a ladder, and he has a concussion, but we spent all of Friday evening, at the doctor's being evaluated and getting an MRI, so he's doing fine, but he still has a headache, so he's not here this morning. So keep him in your prayers, would you, on this special season? We're going to be the only house with no Christmas decorations, but that's what happens, okay? Now let's do our first hymn, and please stand as we sing How Great Our Joy.
While by the sheep we watched that night, glad tidings brought an angel bright. How great a joy,
great a joy,
joy, joy, joy. Praise be the Lord in heaven on high. Praise be the Lord in heaven on high. There shall be born, so he
presenting for the Advent candle lighting. In addition to the purple candles, the color pink is also one of the colors of Advent used during the third Sunday. It represents joy or rejoicing and reveals a shift in the season away from repentance and toward celebration. The verse is Luke 2, verses 8 through 10. Not sure it actually is. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
On that first Christmas night, the angels appeared to shepherds on a hill near Bethlehem. Alfred Edersheim, the great 19th century Jewish Christian scholar, wrote in his book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, that the shepherds and the sheep to whom the angels appeared near Bethlehem were no ordinary shepherds and sheep. The sheep were those that were bound for the temple sacrifices. The shepherds were outcasts because of their necessary isolation from religious ordinances, and their manner of life rendered legal observances unlikely, if not absolutely impossible. How wonderful that in God's wisdom and love, the angel should appear to them, the doomed and the outcasts, that night. Today, we can declare to the world that the Good Shepherd cares for all people and wants to give them peace. Christ came on that first Christmas for one great purpose, to die on the cross for our sins. Now God offers forgiveness, inner peace, and eternal life to all who will repent and believe in his Son. This is the Christmas message. Do you know people who need to hear about God's love and forgiveness? Will you share the true Christmas message with them this year?
Our next hymn is one that we should sing reverently as we ponder on this tiny baby that was born in that stable so long ago. So stand if you're able, and we'll sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful."
Pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to live in this wonderful community on all the friendships we have made. Thank you for this church. Let us take time this Christmas season to reflect and remember why we celebrate. Thank you for sending your son to die for our sins. I pray for our country and the elected leaders. Give them wisdom to lead. Please be with Bruce as he brings the message today. Open our hearts to receive his words. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The scripture today is from Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
As we prepare to give a little bit back to God with our tithes and our offerings, let's stand and sing the doxology together.
Let us pray. What a gift we have received from you, O Lord, the gift of Christ, who gives us eternal life. And we give thanks that we're able to give and support your mission here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dzień dobry. Wesołe Świat. Do ciebie. I said good morning, Merry Christmas to all of you. I said that in Polish because the song I'm going to sing for you today, or part of it anyway, is in Polish. I learned this song when I was a little girl in Catholic grade school, where we were taught by Polish Catholic Franciscan nuns, and they taught us all kinds of Polish songs. We didn't know what we were saying, but we picked up the dialect because at home, our parents and grandparents spoke the language and we could hear it. Of course, they only spoke that when they didn't want us to know what they were talking about. But the name of the song is called Żłobie Leży, which means infant holy. So I'll sing part of it in the Polish language that I learned, and then I'll translate it for you. Żłobie leży, ktoś pobierze kolędować małemu. Jezusowi, Chrystusowi, dziś nam narodzonemu. Pastuszkowie, przybywajcie, jemu wdzięcznie przygrywajcie. Jako Panu naszemu, jako Panu naszemu. And now the English. Infant holy, infant lowly, for a better cattle star. Oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the baby's Lord of all. Swift are winging, angels singing, Noel's ringing, tidings bringing. Christ the baby's Lord of all. Christ the babe is Lord of all.
Thank you. Thank you, Ellen. That was great. Wonderful. Can you hear the angels singing? Can you hear the angels singing? We have to listen to angels. And what are these beings all about? Either you can hear the angels singing in your life or you can't. The shepherds heard the angels and it scared them to death. That's one thing they do. They frighten people. Although I have an angel in my life and she doesn't frighten me. Thank you, Tom. That's one thing angels do. They frighten people. The angel told Joseph, fear not. Because Joseph was afraid because his wife was his betrothed was pregnant and they hadn't gotten married yet. Gabriel said to Mary, fear not, for I bring you tidings of great joy. And the angel told the shepherds out in the field, fear not, a king is being born. By definition, angels are out of this world. They come from another place, another realm of reality, from one dimension to another. One moment, the shepherds are out there in the field outside of Bethlehem, and as we heard a little bit this morning, that they were probably tending the special flock of the temple, and all of a sudden, an angel was talking to them. Well, what are angels? I think it's important for us to know because angels are mentioned so often in the Bible. There are many terms used to describe angels: heavenly host, creatures, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, and sons of God. Well, when were the angels created? Well, they were created before the earth was created, because in Job 38 it says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God, the angels, shouted for joy. The angels were rejoicing as the earth and the universe was created. The angels admired God's beauty, orderliness, and power. Since one of the roles of an angel is to praise God, they shouted loud for God and praised him all along. St. Paul writes, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, which are called angels, or dominions, which are called angels, or principalities, or powers, or all things created by him and for him." Angels are there to work with God. Well, even though angels can appear in a form, they are essentially spiritual beings. They have the ability to become in the form of man, although they are always mentioned in the masculine term, but never as a man. The gender is never called man. In Psalm 8, David, the King David, reflected on the nature of man and observed, "For you have made him a little lower than the angels." So we're not angelic, are we? Sometimes we are, but not very often. The angels are holy beings. They were created by God to serve him and praise him. Perhaps the most famous verse comes from Isaiah 6. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Now, some of those angels, you know, became demons. Lucifer rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven and became Satan. Even these demons were created in the spirit and the state of holiness. Angels are similar to God and man in that they have a personality, which is defined as intellect, emotion, and will. They have self-perception and self-direction. They can make decisions. They are identified as wise in 2 Samuel. Throughout the scriptures, they are portrayed as being obedient to the service of God, doing his will and demonstrating his will, but also able to make decisions. They communicate between God and man. So often in the Bible, it talks about an angel coming from God and talking to people. They have word recognition. They have memory. They're able to speak to you and me. They are able to discern wisdom and basic knowledge. These are all elements of a personality. So angels are something. They're not just ethereal things. They're not just wisps in the wind. Well, look at what the angels did with Christ. It was so important in this. They pronounced his birth. They predicted his birth. They warned of Herod's plot against them, and they ministered to Jesus after the temptation, 40 days in the wilderness when Jesus was tempted by the devil. Then it said that the angels came and ministered to him. They brought him sustenance, spiritual and food. The ministry before the betrayal. It said then in Luke 22, "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." They even strengthened Jesus, because you remember that Jesus was in human form, and he was in a weakened state. He was on call. They were on call at the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were there ready to do battle, but Jesus said, "No, I have to do my will." They rolled back the stone from the tomb. That stone was tons and tons. It took 16 men to roll that stone. But the angel of the Lord came and rolled it back for Jesus. They had the first announcement of the ascension when Mary came to the tomb early on Sunday morning. They said, "Jesus has risen. I am sitting." The angel was sitting on the slab where Jesus was buried. And they said, "Jesus is gone. He is no longer here." They were there at the ascension of Christ when he went to heaven. And they were there when Jesus came back and met the disciples in the upper room. And then they also execute the judgment of Christ. They go with you to heaven when you go to heaven. One of the first things that angels do when they come to you, they say, "Fear not." Fear not, because it is a very strange situation. Obviously, we should be a little bit afraid of angels because we maybe when they come to us, they could be bringing the final judgment. God used an angel to kill Herod when he accepted the worship of the people. The angel killed Herod. Look what it says in Acts 12. And immediately the angel of the Lord struck him, Herod, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms. What a way to die. God may also use angels to do the same thing today, so be careful. God loves us, though, of course. God uses angels to warn us about Armageddon in Revelation. Throughout Revelation, angels are mentioned about having many wings and gathering into their assigned place. Why did God create angels? Can't God do everything himself without the help of angels? Well, we really can't comprehend it. The Apostle Paul calls the angels mighty angels because they are so powerful. The power of a single angel is demonstrated on resurrection morning. And it says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came back and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it all by himself. And the angel broke the Roman seal and went into the tomb. Isaiah records a time when God sent one angel to the Assyrians and killed 185,000 soldiers at one time. Well, the intelligence. Are they intelligent? Well, they have the ability to speak, and they have the ability to have personality. In Matthew 24, it says, but that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but only the Father. The intelligence of the angels like us is limited. We are a little bit lower than the angels. Well, there are lots of angels. How many angels do you think there are on earth in this universe? Well, in the Bible it says in Acts 12 and Matthew 18 that everyone has a guardian angel, whether you're Christian or non-Christian. Everybody has a special angel. So adding, is that 8 billion angels? Well, maybe more. When they talk about multitudes and legions of angels, there are many, many of them. Well, how does God use angels? Well, he uses them to complete a number of tasks. They were involved in delivering the revelation of the Word of God. Look what they did with the shepherds. Fear not, for unto you is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God has sent his angels to protect people. People have been motivated by the greatness of angels. Angels have lifted people up and made them special. And that's why we can use angels in our life as well. And our final day, our guardian angel will transport us into heaven, into the kingdom of God. Angels can protect us. Look what they did at Sodom and Gomorrah. He sent two angels to warn Lot and his family to flee and get out of there. During the evening, the safety of Lot's family was protected when the men tried to go into their home. The two angel visitors protected Lot, and when they, it says in Genesis 19, they struck the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they wearied themselves to find the door. After Daniel was in the lion's den, Daniel was in the lion's den, and the angel of the Lord surrounded those that feared him and saved them. My God hath sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. We should avail ourselves to the power of angels and the Holy Spirit and the presence of Christ to keep us straight and away from temptation of sin. After Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness, as I said before, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto Jesus. Even Jesus needed help in his human form because he went through 40 days of trial in the wilderness. And many of you, I can see you out there that I visited in the hospital or home, many of you, when I pray for help, not only for the help of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but I also ask that God send other special angels to you to minister to you as they did to Jesus. That's why I did it, because I know that the angels came and helped our Lord. If they can help our Lord, they can help you too. God has sent angels to encourage servants of God who are discouraged. The book of Revelation was written in part for the angels and where they have come to earth. Well, back to our field, many thousands of years ago outside of Bethlehem. And then out of nowhere, a multitude of angels came, an uncountable number, singing, bright, shining beings, singing and praising God in heavenly, loud, most awful sounds, saying, awful means full of awe. All the shepherds were full of awe as they were singing, glory to God in the highest. And suddenly, and that's so important in the scripture, and suddenly, it means without warning, without announcement, suddenly the angels came to the shepherds. If we had been there, could we have seen it? Would we have enough faith to see the angels? Could the people in Bethlehem seen the angels 8 miles away? Would the sound of their voices be heard in other places? Or did the angels reveal themselves only to the shepherds? I think the angels were there. And that star in Bethlehem was a star created by God, not because of some comet or meteorite. Can you hear the angels singing in your life? Either you do or you don't. The shepherds heard them. Mary heard them. Joseph heard the angels singing. I don't think Herod heard a thing, though. Because some people see angels and some people don't. Some people believe in the supernatural in their life that can change our life completely, and some don't. The power and presence of angels is very important to us. Every year, Betty and I watch a movie called It's a Wonderful Life. And hopefully we have a more experienced angel than Clarence. I guess a lot of you have seen that movie. Well, a little bit more experience than Clarence, but he learned a lot, didn't he? We watch it every year. Look outside. Some people think the fallen snow is beautiful, and some people think it's a pain in the neck. It depends where you are. Some people visit the Grand Canyon and see it's a big ditch, but others wonder at its beauty. Some things happen in the spiritual realm. Some people can't really see what is going on in their life because they don't understand the spiritual realm. In the early days of space travel, the Russian cosmonaut came back to Earth and declared, "Hey, I was out in space and I looked for God. I didn't see anything." Well, somebody said, all you have to do is step outside the spacecraft and you'll see God real quick. Angels pop up all over the Christmas story, don't they? They told Mary she was going to give birth to Jesus. He told Joseph to call his name Jesus. The angel warns Mary and Joseph about fleeing to Egypt to get away from Herod. The angel tells them when it's safe to return, and then in our scripture, the angelic choir announces the birth of Christ. So there you have it. Angels and stars and dreams and supernatural stuff everywhere. It's part of our life. It's part of our religion. We believe in something absolutely amazing. You know, we are not in the real world right here, are we? We're in what I call the temporary world. The eternal world is full of the supernatural. These two worlds live side by side. We are aliens and strangers because we're in this world not our home. We are not in our home. We are pilgrims on a journey, passing into a world that will last forever. The world you live in will not last forever. The world of cars and planes and trains and buying and selling and investing in factories and offices and schools and universities, telephone, television, radio, and the internet, football, basketball, and baseball, nations and presidents and kings and tyrants. That's the world today. One day, that'll all be gone, never to be back again. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. the heaven and the earth that we know, the skies and the earth will be gone forever. Revelation talks about a vast earthquake that's going to destroy the earth. Paris will be leveled, Tokyo in ruins, Denver off the high hill, Phoenix in ashes. That will be the end of the world. It's right at this point that Christmas is so important to us. We are a race that's going to be living forever. Everything around us will vanish. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves except through the supernatural power and love of Christ. Many miracles surround Christmas: the angels, the star, the dreams, the prophecies, the virgin birth. These are just signs which point to the greatest miracle of all, Jesus Christ. The world of light that came into darkness, illuminating our lives and suddenly coming into our lives, giving us light and saying to us, fear not. The angels have said, fear not. Someone from heaven came to live with us on earth, and that's Jesus. And the Bible explains it in many ways. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And when the fullness of time had come, God has sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. They call the birth of Christ the incarnation, the becoming of man by God. The infinite became finite. The immortal became mortal. The deity was wrapped in swaddling clothes. God, there in a manger. You would think that he'd be born in a castle. Well, the Christian worldview is utterly supernatural. It is not in this world. We believe that the world is not the real world. Christ came from the real world to us, to show us what the real world is. And suddenly, when we least expect it, God breaks through to our lives and the angels sing. And maybe you have heard the angels sing in your life. They sang to startled shepherds 2,000 years ago. Can you hear the angels sing? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. If you listen with your heart, you can still hear them singing. Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth peace, goodwill toward men, for with whom he is so still pleased. Jesus is the tender holy babe, the shepherd, the healing person, the Christ of the people, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, the splendor of the Father, the wonderful counsel, the Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Son of Mary. Jesus, you radiate what the world needs today, and that is love and a supernatural uplifting of our souls. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Bring to us true sorrow for our sins. Give us eternal life through your spiritual power. Come to us suddenly. Make us fearful, though we respect you. Your glory fills the universe. And because of you, because of this Savior, the Savior that was born in this, that we recognize in this season, we can hear the angels. And I hope you can hear the angels too. And let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, our Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He preached to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
said that the angels are always referred to as masculine, but if you look at our beautiful tapestry up here, I think these angels are females. It looks to me like it. Of course, they had long hair back there, you know, so who knows? We're ready to do our communion hymn now, so stand with me, please, and we'll sing about O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Ooh.
Christ has done for us, we come to the table. And if you can recall, this Christmas will be our 10th Christmas celebration. It's amazing how time goes. When Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples celebrating the Passover on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Eat all of it in remembrance of me." The same manner also, he took the cup, and after they finished eating, he blessed the cup and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." And let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we prepare to go out of here this morning, it is still once again great to see so many brave souls out here. And please be careful as you go home. We want to see you back here next week, okay? Fit and no one gets hurt this next week, right? Let's stand and sing about the birthday of a king.
Suddenly, the angels, all of you, sounded just like the angel choir. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.